This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are now on day two of the get-together, and still in Colon, Michigan, and I'm here now with the owner of Fab Magic, Rick Fisher. Hi there, Rick.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. Great. Fantastic. Good to see you, as always.
Good to see you, sir.
So you always have your shop open, of course, during Magic Week, but you've been having things going on all week, the last several weeks, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we had our Magic Festival 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, featuring?
Featuring Jason Andrews, Oscar Munoz, Trent James, Eli Pertala.
Never heard of them.
Carol Baker.
Yeah,
so we
wow.
And we did it different this year. Yeah. We did a two-day Magic Camp.
Yeah.
And then we did a two-day Magic Festival.
Now, the camp is for kids certain age up to...
All ages.
Oh, really, for adults as well?
Well, yeah, we had as many adults.
You had tents out back and everything?
No, we did it at the high school, actually. And last year was the first year we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We had 20-some. This year we had 71.
Yeah.
And we had people flying in from California, believe it or not. Which was
for the camp.
For the camp.
Yeah, the workshop. So some of the same guys who are performing actually come in a couple days
exactly.
early doing the workshops.
So I utilize their talents all week long.
Sure.
And but I'm getting away from the magic convention status and going into a more of a festival.
Yeah.
And it worked perfect this year. We had an arts and crafts festival down
because
at the
Because it's open
Landmark.
To the public as opposed to magicians.
Exactly.
With the evening shows public only.
Yep.
So the whole thing is all open to the public basically.
Exactly. Except we had some lectures spotted in. You know, it's the, well, on Friday and Saturday, for just and we had a close-up show, a close-up magic competition for cash money.
Yeah.
And we did that for the magicians.
Okay.
It's, the magicians actually are a very small part of what goes on in our festival. It's the public we went after.
Sure.
And they came out in groves this year.
Now, where do they come from? I mean,
everywhere.
I mean, really.
They came from
California, but they're all over.
You know, all around Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia.
Wow. Where do you promote this? How do people find out about it, other than the website?
Facebook. We ran TV ads for the first time this year. That worked out really well.
To come to Colon. Now, where do people stay? Or Sturgis, Coldwater?
We find places for them to stay.
In people's homes.
In people's homes.
So, kind of like during the get-together when people open their homes and rent them out, you do that also.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of make arrangements for...
We're making arrangements right now for people to come for Magic Camp next year.
Okay.
So, you know, we're already getting those same people.
Sure.
And I personally know who these people are going to stay with, so
right.
they're not going to ransack their home and
sure, of course.
All that. So.
Yeah, I would think that this is... a thing that whose time has come because there's so many other kinds of festivals and Magic is a festival that is not known nor respected in the U.S. I mean,
right.
they have them overseas
yes.
and they're immensely popular and even in Canada,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's not overseas, just different places. But never in the U.S. it seems like has it been successful. So I'm glad to hear that this is starting to catch fire.
My office manager put together an arts and crafts festival with a performance stage.
Yeah.
So we had magicians performing down there with jugglers and balloon artists. I brought in a live band each day.
Yeah.
So we had
that's
lots of, you know, it just...
entertainment that's kind of
40
going
vendors.
Sure.
We was packed.
Yeah.
It was just terrific. So we know, we think we have a good formula in place.
Yeah.
So now we can move forward and tweak it.
Right.
And just keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. So we're happy with the results.
And so when will this be next year? And
21st and 22nd will be the actual days of the festival.
The festival, okay.
So it'll be the 19th and the 20th will be the Magic Camp.
Okay. And who have you got for next year? Have you got that book yet?
It's a surprise. I'm still working on that.
okay.
Still negotiating, I should say.
And you mentioned before we got on air over here about you purchased some land just as you come into Colon.
Yes, sir.
And so that's kind of, is that the one that's right behind the Colon sign as you kind of make that bend right
yes.
there?
Uh-huh.
I know right where I saw that sign. So that's going to be your place. What are you going to build there?
I'm going to build a brand new performance facility.
Wow.
New offices, workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be there. The offices... showroom, we're just going to expand. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not
right
getting
there.
Any younger. I'm going to do this now or not do it.
I was going to say, my gosh, you're reinventing yourself then, Rick.
I mean, you know as well as I do, Scott, magic shops are closing in record
Rick
numbers.
Brick and mortars are
And everybody's
right,
going,
dying.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I also...
You talked to Denny Haney before
yeah,
you did this,
I know. I see one door closed, but I see another one open.
Yeah.
As these magic shops decrease, here is this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, because now we are going to make Colon, Michigan a destination place, not just 2 weeks out of the year, but 52 weeks out of the year.
Right.
So you're going to come to Colon and see this facility that has everything. You know, I'm going to dress it up kind of like the Magic Castle. You got to pull the sword out of the stone to go into secret rooms.
Right.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
My pocketbook says one thing, my head says another.
Well, you know, the Magic Island in Houston closed back in 2008, and there may be some things in there that might be available. One of the things they had was a big bronze cobra, about as big as your arm.
Really?
And you would put your card, like when you came in to begin with, they would give you a credit card, basically, and so you had to use that card to put in the mouth of the cobra, and then the door would slide open, you know. So there's an idea, something
I'll
a little bit different
darned.
As opposed to the sword and stone, you know, kind of a thing.
I've not heard that. That's news to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that that particular thing is for sale, but I know that the island, they're probably not going to do anything with it. It's a long story. But so anyhow, you're right about that brick and mortar. It seems like that it's hard to compete with online. And how do you? I mean, you have an online presence, obviously, but how do you?
We have our own product line.
Okay.
And nobody.
What do you make?
We make all of our wood products, our own Fraidy Cats, our Hippity Hops. That's our new Donald and Trump and Hillary Clinton Hippity Hop rabbits.
What a clever idea.
We can't keep them in stock.
Yeah.
We make our own hat tears. We make our own mouth coils. We have a sewing department. We make our own linking rings. We make our own zombie balls. We make everything here.
How many employees have you got?
Five.
Okay, goodness.
So we... we're not a huge company, but we just hired a brand new woodshop guy to work full time because we're overwhelmed.
Are you finding that there is more interest and requests for close-up stuff, you know, like cards and stuff, as opposed to stand up and stage? Nope.
Other way around.
Other way around. Interesting.
Because we found our niche. We found that age group from 35 years of age, maybe even 40
younger.
and older.
Okay,
that's our target.
Gotcha.
The guys that are 20s and they're buying
that's
from
the illusionists and all that.
Yeah,
that's
they're buying all the
so
DVDs.
Sense, not competing with them. That's
so
a good
why compete in that
strategy.
Arena? Why compete in that arena? Because that's not our forte.
Exactly.
Our forte is the older group.
Yeah.
Because what we're finding out is that the magicians that raised a family had a full-time job and had to put magic on the back burner for a while to raise a family.
Right.
They got an empty nest, and I got some extra money, and they want to get back in magic and do the occasional birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are buying from us.
Yeah,
they're calling me up going, you know, I used to have this square circle that did that. Can I send you a pic? Can you build it for me? So our custom orders have gone through the roof.
Wow.
But in the meantime, we can still build custom stuff and make stock items too.
Right.
And so we've seen that just go this way, and for the younger ones, it's doing this.
Right, just going down. That's interesting. Out of curiosity, for those who might be interested too, on the Trump and Hillary, how much are those?
75.
75?
And the small ones, we have a little close-up size for $12.50.
Seriously?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's almost a giveaway price.
It is a giveaway price.
So like for restaurant to hop in.
Yeah, exactly.
I may have to go with one of those.
So I got one set. We sold out. I mean, I got one set left.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe when I came up with the idea how well they would sell.
Yeah.
And...
They're off the shelf.
They're flying off the shelf. We can't make them fast enough.
I guess you can't. Yeah, we're going to have maybe
it'll
all five
collector's
people
item.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the buttons, you know, of politicians that you get to be traded,
exactly.
You
yeah,
know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny. So how many years have you been in
13.
Business, Fab? And Fab was Fab Jance and...
No. Fab stands for Fisher Abbott.
Okay.
Because the Abbott children are my business partner from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we incorporated was Fab. We got Fisher Abbott. That's how we started.
And a good relationship. For some reason, I was thinking that the B was for Blackstone.
No. We don't want to get that. We get by ticked off of it. We forget.
Okay.
We've heard Fisher Abbott, Bordner, Fisher Abbott, Blackstone.
Yeah.
Stands Fisher Abbott because the Abbott kids are my business partner.
So, Greg.
No. Greg Borden.
I'm sorry, Percy Abbott.
Percy Abbott's
sorry,
kids are my business partners.
I'm with you.
They have been from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they've been my biggest supporters.
Yeah. What I find amazing is in a town of what, 1,100 people? You, uh-huh. you're on the city council or what?
And
is
I'm
it?
On the downtown development, and I'm also on the planning commission.
Yeah. And how many people in the village?
1,100.
Yeah. And you have three magic shops, brick and mortar magic shops here.
Why not? This is the magic capital.
The magic capital.
Of the world.
There
ought to
be
six, or seven, or eight.
There's room for more.
You bet there
so
is.
If you guys are thinking about investing,
come on
you
down.
Need to see Rick.
Absolutely, we want you here because everybody says, "Well, you don't want to bring in competition." You're darn right, I do, because then you create a destination place.
Exactly.
If you go to a town that has all the automobile dealerships lined up, mm-hmm. you go from a Chevy to a Ford to a Volvo to whatever. You come to a magic town,
yeah.
you if you're the magic capital of the world,
yeah.
you better have something to show these people when they come into town.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my opinion, humble opinion.
That makes sense. I think that makes sense, certainly. You know, and I noticed that last evening at the show that they were selling T-shirts for Colin. They said on the back, you know, here are the magic things that happen. Yeah. And it's not just in the summer. I mean, it's January through December. Every month there's several things.
We have an IBM ring here for the very first time ever. So we are doing things as an IBM ring as well as what we do. Mm-hmm. So now by having three or four different events throughout the year instead of just one,
right.
You're starting to draw interest. We had CNN in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We are negotiating with a large network to put together a program, a 50-episode program right
nice.
Now.
Nice. Okay.
So we're keeping that under wraps. Okay. I have to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I understand.
But it's a great opportunity for the village and for us.
Yeah. Great. Well, tell you what, I'm going to let you go because I see more customers and everybody coming in here then too. But name of my podcast, of course, called The Magic Word.
So absolutely. What is it's great. You do a nice job.
Well, thank you.
It's got to be a labor of love.
It is. Yeah, it's not for profit for sure. Although I'd appreciate anyone who wants to donate, they can. So what would be your philosophy of life? What is it you live by in order to...
Live each day like it's your last.
Because eventually you'll be right.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you help enough others get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Get what you want, yeah. Others first, basically. That's right. All right, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Rick Fisher here at a Fab Magic Company in the little theater right here, too, in the shop. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and, of course, no convention report would be complete without talking with the organizer of the event, the Grand Poobah, because his wife, Mrs. Poobah, is not here. Greg Border. Hey, Greg.
Hi, Scott.
Because she makes some decisions, too, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, if you're married for very long, you understand that.
Yes, it's a joint decision on some things, I understand.
Yeah.
So this is the 79th year.
That's correct. I'm not even that old.
I was going to say, you look awfully young for that.
Well,
you know,
I'm a mere 64.
Okay. Well, so every time you look in the mirror, that's what tells you you're 64.
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Okay,
yeah, well,
I got
that too.
It. Okay. Well, we're of the same age. In fact, I turned 65 in November. When's your birthday?
December.
Okay, so you're just, actually, you're younger than me.
Okay.
By a month.
All right.
Tell me about the convention and putting this together, and what were some challenges that were different this year than previous years?
Well, it's always a constant challenge.
Sure.
I guess we have... it's so hard to describe. You plan all year for this, and then there'll be a family emergency, like our Dr. Jerry Burgess, who's in charge of the Magic Ministers, just left. His granddaughter has some issues in Louisville at a hospital, so he had to leave.
And that's right, hear that.
So we had, me too, we had plans for him to do our Magic Ministers on Saturday morning, but Marty Hahn stepped up.
Yeah.
It is quite the family here, all different levels. I mean, if an act should cancel, and it has happened occasionally, well, in the old days, we used to grab Jerry Conklin in a zigzag and push him out on the stage, and he loved it, and we got through the show. So there's still that to this day where anything can happen.
Up to the last minute.
Yeah, up to the last minute. Yeah, it isn't over till it's over. So you can plan all you want, but what actually happens is always something else. These live performances, we do bring in professional lights and sound and stage to a gym here in Colon, Michigan. I call it Vegas Comes to Mayberry. And, we have all sorts of things here.
We were just delayed. Got Banachek just called in. He's on his way.
Yes, that's always good to know, just to make sure that all the stars are here in line.
Stars are in alignment, so they're going to be here tonight's show.
As I understand it, he's leaving right after the show and heading back to Vegas to work with...
Chris Angel, Supernaturalist.
Right, so we do get quite a level of... caliber here of performers.
Right.
If you know anything about magic, Gay Blackstone stays with us, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and she runs Masters of Illusion and all of that. So there's a lot of big names here. Gene Anderson just came out with his book. And tonight, just before the show and at intermission, we're doing the Girl to Gorilla out on the lawn on Dallas Street.
Which has never been done before.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
No, this is alive and on the inside.
And just one night only.
One night only. You got to see it to believe it.
Yep. I just talked with Keith Strickland just a few moments ago.
Yes.
I took some photos over there. So
yes, and the donation, it's a donation by Keith Stickley, and the Five Star Pizza here in town helped fund it, and the donation goes, then the people, they pay to see this illusion, and it'll all go to the Colon Lions Club that co-sponsors this event.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed also, of course, you do have a lot of sponsors and everybody. I mean, the whole town, of course, turns out for this whole thing, which I think is one of the more unique things. There's so many things that are unique about Camp Colon here, the things that happen. But most conventions, of course, happen in or around in a hotel or banquet room or some facility. Yeah. A lot of people say it's nice because it's all in one place. Well, here, it all happens around town. So you have to walk from block to block. Or I noticed, like, on the schedule that you have some shows at the Abbott Magic Factory. You've got the dealers over here in the elementary school. We've got the evening shows in the lectures over in the high school.
Yes, well, that's air conditioned.
And so it's, well, it seemed to be, I think last night was a little bit warmish.
Well, it's August in Colon, and the more people you get in a theater, the more heat is going to be generated.
Exactly.
And those lights still. Well, eventually,
it was thanks to the Lions Club who actually put in the
well, actually, it was Abbott's.
Oh, you guys did. Okay.
Yeah, my dad started it, and we've kept it up because there's no other school our size and ever that could afford air conditioning for their gym.
For the gym.
Yeah. You just
they don't do that.
Sweat equity or something
there.
But it's wonderful to have everybody here in town. They say it's like the family reunion people want to go to. Yes, we do try. The whole town gets involved. You just have to see it to believe it, as I said about the girl to gorilla.
Well, and Keith was saying about how that it's not just the Pepper's Ghost illusion, but there are other things that are happening that make it fun.
Oh.
He said it's kind of scary. Have people running from the exits.
That's the idea. Yes. That's he's going to properly present it,
there
I'm sure.
There you go. Yes.
I've seen it in classic style. Yes. I've seen it done in a theater, but never in a tent.
Yeah.
And there's two guys from Arkansas, two magicians, drove up here just to see that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Talk about, well, sometimes my opinion of magicians isn't very high. I wouldn't drive 10 hours to go see this, but they did.
Whatever turns you on. That's right.
So.
And then tomorrow night and Saturday have fireworks.
Right? Well, Friday night, yes, weather permitting.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then they'll shoot them off Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Right. So it's all sorts of events going on. The Chamber of Commerce pays for magicians to perform in the street.
Yep.
Joe Bennett's doing the linking hula hoops in front of the American Legion. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a crowd of people standing in the street.
Well, Curly's used to have a contest of its own, too.
That'll be tonight.
Oh, it's tonight. Okay.
Yeah, that'll be tonight. And then they announce the winner tomorrow night. So they actually closed early last night. I guess they ran out of help.
Wow.
They were all burned out already.
Yeah.
They had a big week coming, so they just shut down early, and the American Legion was packed.
So what were you looking forward to for this particular year? I mean, it was really exciting. You really wanted to, I mean, like each year, I assume it, I mean, you just kind of wanted to get over and work on the next year.
Yes, that's true. Well, we are building for the 80th. There is something about an 8 and a 0, and we do have next year's dates picked out, and Mike Miller is my producer there. He's taking over for Hank Morehouse, and we're lining up some very stellar acts even as we speak for next year.
He told me one that's going to be, he just booked for Wednesday. Can that be told yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
We better wait on that
one.
Leave him in suspense.
Okay. It's a good one.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. They're all going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
That's the idea.
But this is a name that everybody knows worldwide.
Yes. Well, it's a real goal to have a good time, make some money, and everybody enjoy each other's company. We've become friends here. People stay in people's homes a little bit, and then they become friends with them. They'll exchange Christmas cards or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah.
You put us into Alice's place. You know, we started to be friends, trading cards, you know, Christmas cards with them. And, I mean, this is... It's very unique. A lot of fun.
You can't describe it.
Well, I think that you said it best when you said it was Mayberry.
Vegas comes to Mayberry.
Comes to Mayberry.
It's also like a Woodstock of magic, too.
Yeah, that's true.
People sleep in their cars. I don't understand.
Their tents and little RVs. And
Yes, people all over.
Yep, from everything. Well, Greg, thanks very much for putting on another great event here for the 79th. Look forward to next year's and the 80th, but we're not even halfway through now.
Not yet. I'm still hanging in there. It's kind of a marathon, but we'll get there.
Very good. And so with the Magic Word Podcast, that's Greg Bordner. This is Scotty out.
Darwin right? Did man evolve from ape? Here, for the first time, see Gabora, strangest girl ever to be born. She was captured near Nairobi, South Africa, and is believed to be part of a cruel, inhumane experiment. Perhaps living proof of the missing link. This beautiful girl will be locked into a steel cage right before your very eyes and will change very slowly into a ferocious 450-pound gorilla. you'll actually see the long matted hair begin to grow over her entire body. Her eyes sink deep into her forehead. Her nostrils swell and enlarge, and claws take the place of fingernails and toenails. And her body begins to swell until the once beautiful Gabora is now an ape so big, so powerful, she can bend a steel bar like a toothpick. Although the cage is electronically locked and sealed at all times, if you have a weak heart, are an expectant mother, or are easily frightened, don't come in. Ladies and gentlemen, the next show begins in just a very few minutes. The ticket office is open now. For an unexpected thrill of a lifetime, get your tickets now and do come in.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And just before I go in for a lecture over here with Ice McDonald, I was talking, going to talk here with Keith Stickley. Hello, Keith.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic, thank you. And this is the Girl to Gorilla, which you've been setting up over here. And this is a sideshow thing that goes way back from when?
Yeah, this is a sideshow illusion that these kind of shows started really at the turn of the century. They were a mainstay for many, many years at carnivals and fairs all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many left. This is one of the last ones that are still out on the road.
Yeah.
We recently acquired it from the estate of Tim Dermer from Canton, Ohio. Sure. And we spent the last couple months trying to restore it. And we're going to bring it out to a whole new generation of audiences. So Abbott's is sort of the kickoff of the summer tour. From here it goes to about 5 or 6 weeks of county fairs throughout Michigan and Indiana.
Now, they really don't have freak shows or anything else, but I mean, this isn't really a freak show, but I mean, this is what it used to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in carnivals, really up until the 60s and 70s when ride manufacturers started making big rides, most of the attractions at carnivals were live shows like this. You know,
yeah.
They had girly shows, they had the gorilla show, the 10-in-1 sideshow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this stuff has by and large fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, and this is an old technology. The Pepper's Ghost thing goes way back to the 1800s, I guess.
Yeah, no,
maybe even before that.
It's total Pepper's Ghost
with
a couple extra surprises built in. It still makes them jump. So.
Well, you know, whenever I heard that they were going to be having this put up, which, by the way, for obviously this is a listening audience and you can't really see it, but you can go to the website. I'm going to show you some pictures of the outside and whatnot. But it's set up right next to the high school, so this way that it's as people are coming in and out, that you'll be having this open. Is it just tonight only?
It is tonight only. Tonight's the only night we're able to put it up. The event is it's sponsored by Five Star Pizza, which is sort of a local institution
right
here
next
in
to Curly's.
Exactly, right next to Curly's. Carl Thornton's the proprietor there. And, you know, over the years, Abbott's it holds a special place in my heart as sort of like a kind of a cool vintage old school thing. And we were talking to Carl, and we're like, you know, Carl was like, we need to bring some more, you know, crazy fun that people wouldn't expect, you know, to get together to keep it, you know, fresh and fun. And so I said, well, hey, man, I've got this deal going on with this gorilla show for some fairs. And Carl was just like, what do I have to do to get you guys to drag it out here to Colon and set it up so we have a, you know, something else crazy to do before the show and the intermission? And he was very generous. Five Star has been great, and they provided the funding and everything to get my crew out here and get some gasoline in the tanks to drag it up. And here it is. And we're getting ready to scare the crap out of some kids.
And is it going to be open like for everybody? Is it like a quarter a piece? You're charging them or something?
Well, it's donations only. I guess some of the, I don't even know how that's working. Some of the proceeds, I guess, are going to the Lions Club, which I think kind of co-sponsor the get together or whatever. So,
I recall this particular illusion of the girl to gorilla from the movie Diamonds Are Forever, the James Bond movie.
Yes.
Of course. And it, you know, whenever that they would jump out, and they knew this was in Circus,
yep,
that it happened, and then the kids would be scared, and you know, James Bond and Jill St. John were in the movie, and Jill St. John kind of ducked back behind. You remember the whole, all that?
Yeah.
And as I recall, Philip Morris, I think, was telling me that the costume that they used, and that was one of his, not Yeti costumes, it was one of his
Bigfoot costumes
that he had used also.
Yeah. So. It's very likely that it was, yeah. I mean, I've been good friends with Philip Morris for a lot of years, and it's kind of the backbone that he started his costume company on, was building costumes for the Girl to Gorilla shows.
Yeah.
So, because there used to be a lot of them out there.
Well, did you have any other kinds of shows like this that you took on the road, or why?
I also have a mermaid show. So it's Corellia, the living water baby. They go into a tent, and they see a real live girl appear about 6 inches tall in a glass bowl of water. And I've had that out for about 4 years now, I guess.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And, you know, the things that I have seen with the mirror delusion, Spider Girl, and different kinds of things like that. Do you have those kinds of
things? I don't have a Spidora. I do have a couple other things.
Electric lady or something with the neon tube?
Yep, we got an electric chair, and so we have an electric chair show. But out here this week, we just brought Gabora,
because
it's a pretty big setup. It's over 50 feet wide and 30 feet deep. So.
Wow. Gabora. I think that sounds like the same name. I think that's what made me trigger that with from the TV, the movie also.
Yeah.
I think
that
they had the same thing. Well, very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing this later tonight. And so as people are exiting the theater, they're probably sworn to secret. Don't tell anybody what else is going to happen because it's going to be a surprise, I guess.
Well, normally people, we'll see how it goes tonight. Normally on a fairgrounds when there's a lot of kids, you get 30, 40 kids literally running out as fast as they possibly can for dear life.
Uh-huh.
And that usually draws a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And then that gets the next crit tip that we end up bringing into the tent and selling tickets. So.
Okay, people, I started to wrap up. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Words. Let me ask you, what is your philosophy of life? It doesn't have to be a word. It could be a phrase. What is it important to you? What do you, when you wake up in the morning, it gets you charged? What's
Can I hyphenate the word?
Sure can.
Win/love. There you go.
I love that. That's good. And so,
always win and always love.
From the ape girl alive, beautiful girl, from a beautiful girl into a terrifying gorilla. Girl to gorilla illusion over here with Keith Stickley. For the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here at Curly's, which is on the corner. They had a fire a few years ago, and some of the stuff's been rebuilt, and this is one of the new restaurants, and actually Curly's had rebuilt. It probably was a good idea to get it all cleaned out and have something new after all those years of being there. But I'm here now with Martin Cox and also John Sterk, which we who is a gentleman we spoke to the other night from the Chicago Magic Lounge. So I'm going to say hello to you guys. Howdy.
Hello.
Hi, Scotty.
Good to see you. You're right.
Yep, I'm doing fantastic. So before we get into Martin, I was going to talk about your lecture also from yesterday, but last night's show. Now you were involved for the first time. Then John, you started actually providing some music accompaniment. So talk a little bit about, what was her name?
Wilma Wrench was the organist here for a good 50 years. She played at the Abbots before the evening shows, and she also toured with circuses. So she was a very accomplished organist.
Yeah.
And she retired about 5 years ago. And that having the live music was something a lot of people, including me, really missed about the Abbots experience. Mm-hmm. So instead of waiting for somebody else to
step up,
I did. And I don't really play the organ. I've been learning.
You're more of a keyboard.
I'm a piano player, yeah.
So
it was very obvious. So I've actually been interested in learning how to play the Hammond organ, which again is a different type of organ and a different style of music from what Wilma played.
Yeah.
But I brought with me my digital Hammond organ, and picked a few selections that I thought would be appropriate or that would go well with the show. And then, of course, I had the one requirement was I had to play There's No Business Like Show Business, because that was the tradition, was when Wilma plays No Business Like Show Business, that's when the show starts.
Yeah.
So that was the one song that I absolutely had to learn how to play.
Yeah.
And so I did it.
And
it was and so I vaguely did it, according to Martin. He just likes to bust my balls.
Well, were you reading the music?
I don't have enough confidence in my musical memory to memorize it yet. Mm-hmm. So I have it all on PDF on an iPad, and it's much easier than carrying around paper. So that's what we did, and now I have three more nights, one down, three more to go.
Well, got a good start. So this is starting a new tradition over here then with you.
It's a new old tradition.
Yeah. Exactly. Because it's your own style. I mean, that it was just by having some live music, and that different from what she used to do. Wilma Wrench.
Wilma Wrench, and actually, you can buy her CD from Abbott's on the Abbott's website. Her last name is spelled Wrench.
Not with a W.
Not with a W.
Oh, okay. Speaking of last evening's show, that we had a good kickoff last night. Sir Patrick came out first and performed, followed by Brenda Hahn, who's doing a event act, and then I'm trying to think who else. It was emceed by Ice McDonald.
Oh, and the German.
Oh, Clemens.
Clemens, yes, Clemens.
Did a mentalism thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he played the trumpet on stage, which I loved.
I did too. That was quite different.
I've been trying to figure out how I could play the piano or play the keyboard in my act, and still too big. But Clement, he's like a symphonic trumpet player in
Germany.
He must
have been. I mean, he blew the socks off.
Yeah, he's like a real professional trumpet player.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to see how he folded that into a show.
And then after the intermission, then Ice came back on, and he performed in a little while, and then David Seebach closed the show with some Mysteries from the Orient, and it was interesting.
All right, gentlemen.
So it was a nice full evening show. Any comments? How did you like the show? It seemed like it was a good group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I caught you by off guard there. I'm sorry, you were just texting somebody while I was talking.
It was lounge business. It's very important business. Yes. Yes.
Pictures of dogs. I just saw it. Sending pictures of animals to his friends on Facebook.
I'm talking with a client about a booking is what it is.
Well, speaking about clients, and go back to Magic Lounge for just a second. I saw Jeff Bibbick here yesterday, and I know that you had sent him out, and they were kind of on the first touring thing. Tell me a bit about that real quick.
Well, as you may know, Scotty, I'm involved in the improv community in Chicago as a piano player, and I've done some workshops, and one of my former students came to see the Magic Lounge, didn't know that I was involved with the Magic Lounge, but came to see the show. He liked it a lot, and he wanted to have us do our show out at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora, Illinois. So that's what we did. We set up two nights, and so I went on a Friday night, and the next night we sent Bibbick and a few others. And so far, they were very happy with it. And,
yep.
I mean, we're sort of quickly outgrowing our model, which is good and bad.
It's good
and
bad.
But
you can expand to other cities, so then you'll have the... seriously, a real New York lounge.
Who knows? Who knows?
The Houston lounge.
Maybe. I just feel like we're trying to get through the next few months.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it went really well. So we sent Jeff and a couple other guys to go do two shows on a Saturday night out in Aurora.
Nice.
While we still did our regular show at home in Chicago. So we were literally in two places at the same time.
Wow. Now that is magic.
Yeah.
Now going back over to the convention yesterday, that Clemens, speaking of him, it was in the evening show last night, had a lecture that he started. Yeah. He kicked off yesterday morning. I missed that. Did you guys see
it? No, I didn't see it.
Unfortunately, I also missed it.
So much good things about it.
I heard a lot of good things. Yeah.
I'm going to talk with him later because he pulled me aside and said, hey, let's chat. And actually I had someone who sent me a text also said, hey, if you see Clemens, be sure to pull him aside. So
yeah.
I'm definitely going to sit down with him. But how did you feel that your lecture went yesterday?
I think it went okay. I got good response. Everybody seemed happy. Obviously, because lectures at a convention are different to lectures in a club, so I didn't have time to do too much on theory and my psychology piece.
You only have like a 1 hour time, including a time to sell stuff.
That's right. You only have an hour, so you miss all the little bits, how to approach tables that I do, and the psychology I use, and how to deal with, and how to recognise the alpha male in a group, and all things like that. So that's all missed. So it's basically you've got to get through as much material as you can, and then if you get time to do a little bit. I've done a little bit, and people were very sort of pleased with that as well, because I use X-bouncer techniques to...
I like those. Can you... although this is obviously an audible thing, and you can't, but can you talk about how that you put your foot forward, the different things you do in order to...
Sure. So if someone's burning your hands or looking at your hands, and it's an old bouncer's technique for drunks, if they're looking at their feet, you need to look them in the eye, because you need to see what their intent is. So what you do is you just shift weight from one foot to the other foot. So you stagger your feet so one's behind the other. You put all your weight on the back foot, or in my case on my right foot, and then I just shift my weight to my left foot. And as you shift,
lean into them.
Yeah, sort of lean in very, very slightly, very subtle. And what happens is that their instinct to survive comes in, because you're lunging towards them, and it gives that sense of you're invading that space.
Yeah.
And they need to see what your intent is, and they will look you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look over their shoulder. It's another thing. You just move your shoulders and look actually over their shoulder. And again, that brings their head up to look over. And then miscall their name is a classic. So, you know, your name's Scott. So I'd go, so Dave. And then you'd look me up and go, no, it's Scott. And while you're doing that, I can do a top change or any other move I want to do. You know, like if your pass is not up to scratch, then right. That's a good way of practicing so they don't see the past. And it works with groups of people as well. You can use the same techniques because everybody will look up if you or all of a sudden move forward for no apparent reason or look over the shoulder because people want to know who's behind me, what's going on.
Yeah, that was the third thing you mentioned was if you look beyond someone's face, they're going to see who's behind them.
Yeah, they're going to turn or they're going to look. Yeah. So, and at a table situation, if you're at a table situation, you just have to look across the table at someone else who's across the table.
Well, let me add something also that I've been using for a long time. It's just been something over the years that I had started doing, and that is that they really, really burn your hands, that I will ask some non sequitur, has nothing to do, in other words, that we'll be going along and I say, what was your mother's maiden name again? And they'll go, what? I mean, it's like, or, you know, do you get very good mileage, you know, with that piece of crap, car or whatever? What was it you drive? It's like, what, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So any techniques to make them look in the face are good, but like I said, I use a lot of that sort of thing. And there's a thing out there called tip touching, which I talk about, which waiters and waitresses are learning about now. And
it's
and it's a way of increasing your tips if you're working in a restaurant. And that's just a slight leaning and a touch, a very light touch on the person's shoulder.
During the show, at the end, when you're ready to...
Well, if you're approaching a table, you recognise the alpha male at the table.
Right.
And there's ways of doing that.
Right.
If you just step back and watch the dynamics of the table, you can tell who's in charge there.
Right.
And that's the person you go up to, that's the person you touch, and it's just a very light touch on the shoulder as you lean in, or excuse me, and that what that does is it invades that space.
Yeah,
you've gone across the line, but it's such a light touch that it makes them very hard for them to say to you, go away.
Mm-hmm.
And you always address them first. So as you're doing your magic, if you're going to do something, have someone pick a card. You don't necessarily have to have them pick a card, but as long as you address them in
make
some
sure
way.
Make sure that it's okay for the people.
You're sort of giving their permission, really.
Exactly.
And then once you've gone beyond that, once you've touched them, then you've got control of that situation, and then you become the alpha male. Or female, if you're a, you become the.
But do you just do the touch one time, or do you do?
You can do it once or twice, depending on the person.
I have noticed that there is a lot to the tactile sense. I had one time tried an experiment where I was working the same restaurant 1 week that I made a point not to touch people. And like, in other words, if I was doing a sponge wall routine, I would have them, you know, pick it up, or I would not close their hand. I'd try not to touch them, or if they'd pick a card, I'd put, you know, take it from them and put it back or whatever. I tried not to, and that following week, then I tried the very same things, but I would lean in, I put my hand on their shoulder. I mean, I was using the same lines and everything, but I would use their hand, my hand, to close their hand or whatever, and then I would hold their wrist or hold their hand. Different kinds of things in which I was, you know, very touchy-feely kind of a thing. I would say that my tips went up 500%. Very dramatic, because now they feel like they're part of you, as opposed to being cold and they're watching on television or something.
You become friendly. You become more friendly.
That's become friendly.
But and it stems from the old handshake. It's to say, look, I'm not armed.
It's empty.
It's empty. I haven't got a knife or a sword in my hand. I'm saying this is a friendly gesture.
Right.
And that's where it really comes from.
Yep.
Stems from. And I use a lot of that in my work and in the lecture I explain all that, but like I said, at conventions you don't get a chance to do that, but I think they really enjoy themselves.
And that's why you call your lecture four, because
that's
you have four different parts to it.
That's right, yeah.
Which I recommend, by the way, it's a good lecture.
Thank you very much, Scott, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's been a good, this is the end of the sort of tour. I've done a convention earlier on and I've been all over the place, but this is really an interesting place to come because it's so laid back.
It's your first time in Colon, isn't it?
First time.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, with John being here forever, since you're a kid.
13 years for me,
And this being your first, what's your experience?
I turned up, I got here about 1:30 in the morning. And I'm staying in a house down the road.
You didn't come here straight from the UK. I mean, you were already here.
No,
in the
I was
US.
Already here. Yeah. I came in from Detroit. I drove in from Detroit, and it was just so weird. It was just, oh, you're staying in this house. Oh, okay. Where is it? They gave me the address. The key would be under the mat.
Yeah.
I got there. There was a key under the mat. I let myself in. It was empty. There was no one else in there. you know. And it's a bit sort of odd, and I went and I found the room I'm staying in, and when I got up in the morning, there was still no, I was the only one in there, and I came out, and then later on someone else turned up, and I'm sharing now with three other people.
Yeah.
So, and it was really, it's just nice and friendly, and everybody seems laid back, and, you know, it's really good. I'm loving it. Compared to any other convention, it's not intense in any way.
Right.
And as a performer, and I'm performing in the show on Saturday, and I've done a lecture, and I'm doing the close-up, it's just, everybody just seems to be very nice, and there's still none of that, you know. Then there's no one here that is performing in the shows and walking around going, I'm the big I am, you know.
Right.
Sometimes you get.
You have some ego problems sometimes. Yeah. You can't get that many egos with those heads in the same room. But I think, you know, when they call this Camp Colon, it's very much like that, because it's all around the lake and different parties and things that are happening, and that folks who have been performers in the past, just such as myself, just love to come here and hang out and be with friends, because it is such a great atmosphere. And the people like the way and everybody, you know, here just, you know, loves this, not only because it's good business, but they love magic, you know, and everybody's willing to show them something, you know, all the time. And then, John, you're going to be doing street magic tomorrow or today, or what are you doing here?
I'm scheduled to do Friday at 11 in front of Donna Phil's Cafe. That's part of the sponsored busking from the Chamber of Commerce. So I sort of organize a few street performers at designated spots and times to perform for the public.
Who are the people this year?
This year I have Virginia Taylor, Trino, Joe Bennett, and John LaChance, and myself. Mm-hmm. So we'll all be performing for the public. And then I told them, you know, we need you to be here at these times and on these days, but if you want to do other street performance outside of that, have at it. Go crazy. Do whatever you want. Just, you know, we're guaranteed these times, and we get a little money from the Chamber of Commerce to do that for the performers. But if you feel like you're having a good day and want to keep going, by all means do it. I used to do a lot of street performing outside of the Legion in the evenings.
Yeah.
And I still get people, oh, are you going to be out there doing the cups and balls again? Maybe, if I feel like it, I don't know. And if I need some beer money, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's something we started, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And people really seem to like it, especially the public.
Sure.
It's because they don't have to necessarily buy a ticket or
free show.
It's more or less a free show to them, and then the buskers are skilled enough that they're able to coax some tips to make it worth their time.
Right.
The Chamber of Commerce kicks in so that it is worth their time even without the tips.
Yeah.
And it just makes everybody happy.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. Well, listen, thanks, guys. I appreciate it very much. You're what helps make this the great convention. I mean, you know, people have good attitudes and everything, you know, then too, and coming back every year. So, Martin, I guess we'll be seeing you in future years. I know it's not like an easy hop, skip, and a jump. You have to come across the pond to get here.
No, but I love it here. I've been here a few times, and for me, this is, again, it's a getting to know me type thing, because people don't know me, they don't know what type of person I am. Mm-hmm. So this is really great for me to do things like this.
Right.
So I'm planning on coming back next year, maybe doing some more lectures and maybe some more shows around the country and having fun. So
good. Thanks. That's what it's all about. You bet. Thank you, guys. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, from Curly's here in downtown,
right by the flashing stoplight
in Colon, Michigan, with John Cirk and with Martin Cox. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here over at Curly's, and it's 101 degrees outside, so we just stepped outside because it's so cold inside at Curly's. Here with Denny Haney. Hi, Denny.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. So it's been a while since we had last spoken.
I think MAS convention, I believe, was the last time.
Yeah, good to see you too.
Yeah, be right out.
People are friendly. Yes, whenever we were at the MAS convention and had the talk show thing, it was so funny. So since then, in fact, that, as I recall, was it your daughter, I believe, who was the producer, did the commercial or something with you? Or?
Oh, that producer of that film.
Yeah.
It's called The Finale.
Yeah.
And it's the story of a crazed magician.
Yeah.
And it's on YouTube. You can find it. You just look for The Finale and put in my name, Denny Haney.
Yeah.
And it'll come up.
And who produced it?
My daughter.
It was your daughter.
My daughter. Yes. She produced it. She filmed it. She did everything.
And what's she been doing since then?
And she's got an internet thing where she creates specialty design t-shirts and stuff like that. She's doing very, very well.
Is she still producing film?
No, on the side.
But that's not like her main
vocation?
That's
not her main thing, but she's into it just for the art of it. She's very involved in the Creative Alliance in Baltimore, Maryland, and that's a very artsy thing, and they have a lot of independent films. They they have a contest every year, and she's involved in all of that. So
now you're going to be performing here this year or lecturing?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, okay. And are you lecturing or just performing on
that? Just performing. I lectured 3 years ago.
Okay. What number is this for you as far as how many did you
attend? Hey, believe it or not, this is only the second time in my 70-year life that I've ever been to Abbott's. Always wanted to go. Riso Bordner used to call me all the time to work it. But that was back when Lee and I were touring and we were...
Doing the college circuit back then.
We were doing, corporate events, everything. We never had time off, so I could never make it. And now that I'm a magic dealer and out of work and out of money, I can come to these things.
You want to say out of money twice, sir?
Yeah, out of money, out of money.
And out of your mind.
Hint, go to my website.
Yeah, buy more stuff.
Buy stuff.
So you still just have the two shops. You got one in Vegas?
One in Vegas and one in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
And every month it's a contest to see which one loses the most money.
And the one who loses gets to keep their job.
Yeah, right.
So what is one of the most... boy, it's loud out here. This is supposed to be an Amish town where people are driving around horses and buggies. There shouldn't be all this.
It's the hooves. They're loud out here.
What would you say is one of the hottest selling magic items right now in the shop?
You know, I can't think of one. The hot sellers in magic shops are the latest card trick that's come out in the past 30 days.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about right now. And we don't get into that. You know, we like to carry classic stuff for classic performers.
And they got all the books and...
The books and things like that. And, you know, I look on my bookshelves in the shop and where my books used to be all lined up nice and neat, now I've got them tilted sideways, piled on top of each other because people are buying less and less books.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is. It's a shame.
I know that you and Roger Klaus are the two people who always gave the best advice, which is to read.
Oh, you bet. You got to read.
Invest in books.
And it's not just in magic. It's in life.
You should read things outside of magic. You know, get a life. Yeah.
But exactly. It's not the thing today. Everything is YouTube, instant visual. Downloads.
Yeah, instant gratification and stimulation.
Yeah, and the thing is, they say, well, Denny, the reason you're struggling is because you're old and you won't conform to the new things that are happening in life.
And you say to them?
Well, this is something they don't realize. Yeah, I am 70 years old, and back when videotape first started, I was like one of the first people to have a reel-to-reel video tape player.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the first Betamax. I bought the first video discs, the laser discs.
So you have been on the...
I have all of the latest technology.
Yeah.
But after 8 years of buying every new thing that came out and staying up to date, I look back and I have all that stuff now and none of it will play.
Mm-hmm.
Because the technology changes so much.
Mm-hmm. So quickly.
That now... whatever media it is, you can't play it anymore. So a lot of them, the magicians that are downloading and getting things, when your computer crashes, you're going to lose all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the only thing that seems to retain its value and its longevity is a book, an actual printed book. It always works. I never had, I never got eyes 2.0 to read a book, unless you call it glasses.
Yeah.
But those, the books and all the information is in the books. Where when it's a visual thing only, the only information you get is the information that guy decided to show you.
Yeah.
You discover nothing on your own.
Right. Well, listen, I'm going to try and wrap up over here, but thank you very much. And as I asked you before, Denny, about what your magic word is, what is your philosophy of life? And you've kind of talked about investment and reading, but what would you say is important?
Well, that is it, reading.
Reading.
Yeah, it's really the way.
Reading is magic. Yeah.
Read. And enjoy the reading.
Yeah.
It's not like a textbook in school. It's not like they make you read Silas Marner and Julius Caesar, which I hated in the school. I hated it.
Yeah.
But reading magic should be enjoyable because you should love magic. magic.
Good. Sounds great. Good words of advice to live by. That was Denny Haney, and here, right on the square, is seeing Ice McDonald and Mike Miller walk by for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the Wednesday evening show, or is this Thursday? This is Thursday night show. That's right. And I'm here with one of the featured acts, actually, kind of closed the show tonight, Banachek.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I was really tired, though. I took a red eye in.
Tell me about it.
Well, we're actually rehearsing for a show in Vegas. Got 1 week we're going to be going out on, and so I got a week of rehearsals on that, and I took a red eye here last night.
That's like a midnight flight.
But I took a sleeping pill on the way, which I never take, but I got these things in Norway because I don't like taking pills. I just don't do it, you know, and I decided to take them, but they didn't make me sleep. What they did was made me groggy all day once I got here. So,
because you arrived in like Indianapolis or someplace?
Yeah, Fort Wayne, and then drove up here. It's about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes.
And you checked into a motel someplace just to sleep for a couple of hours?
Yeah. I'm going to be going back there tonight now that I'm done with the show. I'll head straight back. So, yeah.
And you'll try to get a couple more hours before you catch the next one.
I will do that because I got to go straight from the airport to rehearsal. So,
But the reason you're here is because of Vinny,
because you promised
were going to. If it hadn't been for him, and you made the promise that you wouldn't have come, and
well,
it's just
Vinny's my friend. So
you do things for friends.
Got to keep your word, you know. Yeah. And Vinny's an okay guy, you know. I mean,
hey, Vinny, come on over here. And here's the MC of the evening show, Vinny Grasso. Hey, Vinny,
how you doing?
Fantastic. I put together a good show.
Thank you. All these guys
are really good.
Yeah, and, they were great.
Yep, and so thank you guys for putting it on and coming out just for this. I know that some other people would love to, because tomorrow morning when I post this, they're going to be saying, well, where's Banachek? You know, I just heard that he was here.
Yeah.
Well, he missed him. He was like...
It's either that or cancel, one of the two, so and I didn't want to cancel.
Didn't want to do that.
So show went good. Great crowd, though. Freddie said it was standing O at the end.
You left, everyone was standing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I really liked it because he was gone and I walked on there, so I got my first standing ovation.
There you go. You'll take it.
Totally.
That's right.
Well, that's good.
Thanks very much. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Vinny.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
See you guys all later in Vegas, I guess, over at Magic Live in a few weeks then, too.
Maybe, yes.
Or maybe. That's right.
Maybe.
You'll see me.
Okay, I'll see you there for sure, Vinny. Okay, for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty.